Siyata Deshmaya, we're up to, I think, before this Purim Tav Shinai and Tes, our last life lessons from the Megillah. I'd like to go back to one of the psukim that we spoke about, Perek He, Pasuk Dalet, but start with Perek He. Klal Yisrael is in a tough spot. Tough is an understatement. We've been decreed to be annihilated. Wasn't the first time, wasn't the last time. And Esther suggests in the end of Perek Dalet that she's going to fast and asks Klal Yisrael to daven for her. And she goes into Achashverosh. Of course, she's unannounced, and Achashverosh is a difficult man, and if you're unannounced, it's quite dangerous, Esther had told Mordechai. So she passes the first hurdle. He lets her in. So the king says to her, Maloch Esther Amalko, what would you like, Esther? What's your request? I'll give you up until half of the kingdom. Okay. So this is quite an offer. She's being offered half of the kingdom. Now, of course, what she's interested in is saving Klal Yisrael. That's a tall order. Remember, it's been signed. It's already been signed that Klal Yisrael is going to be annihilated. But at the end of the day, she's there for a particular reason, and she needs Siyata Deshmaya to get it. And then Hashem's name comes in, as we spoke about last time. Vatoymer Esther, Pasuk Dalet, Imal Melech Toiv, Yavoy Melech Vahaman Hayoim, El Mishta Asher Asisi, let the Melech and Haman come today to the party that I've made for him. Now, lesson number one, Achashverosh has offered her half of the kingdom. That's a lot, that's half of the world. But Esther doesn't take the bait. What she wants is the future of the entire world, the future of Klal Yisrael. But she doesn't ask for half of the malchus. What she asks for is something funny. She asks, Yavo HaMelech VaHaman Hayom El HaMishta Asher Asisi Lo, that Melech and Haman should come to the party. Sometimes you're being offered a lot, and there's a lot that you want to accomplish, but at the end of the day, it's not so good always to rush into it. That's lesson number one. Somehow, Esther understands, and I can't put my finger on exactly what it is that she does understand, but Esther understands that if she's going to come right away, right now, to Achashverosh, with a request that really is worth less than the Chatzi HaMalchus, that she's going to get pushed away. So what she does is, she asks for something small. Whenever you set out to something, this is lesson number one, whenever a person sets out to something, to do something big and to do something great, often it's not a good idea to start out with your guns blazing. Just last night, someone was speaking to me, someone who had just started a job, someone who was a rookie who was starting a job, and in a very successful company. And this rookie walks in and he has all the ideas of how to change things and make things better. We have to know that even when a person has offered us something, that anava is always the best first step. Anava is always necessary. But particularly when a person's starting out, anava is necessary, because sometimes it's so obvious to you that it's one way, but you just don't have the whole picture. You just don't have the whole picture. And we know in sports, you know, how important it is, you know, before you make a risky pass, just to make sure that, much better, you have two possibilities. It's first down, you're the quarterback, and you notice that the cornerback is inching in too much. But unless you're 100% sure, don't make that risky pass. What was it, the Seahawks and...
Patriots.
What, Seahawks and Patriots, right? Mm-hmm. Like that. So that was so... it was ridiculous, right? I can't believe that they made that call. But at the end of the day... I forgot the name of the quarterback. Baruch Hashem, and M. No,
that's the Patriots.
Yeah, no, the
Russell CEO. Wilson.
Wilson, right? So at the end of the day, you know, I'm sure in his mind the play was 100% clear, and it was. It was just a few inches off, and the cornerback really, really read it. Lahavdil Alf Alfa Abdullah, if he had just run the ball that one time, the odds are it would have gone in. But even if he hadn't gotten it in with their running back, but he had a couple more chances. So, but once you make that mistake on first down, that's it. You're not going to have another downs to rectify. Back, Lahavdil Alf Alfa Abdullah. So what she suggests is something much more modest. But what does she bring in? No more football analogy anymore. What she brings in is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What she brings in is the remez that we spoke about last time from Rabbeinu Bechai, is she brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, she recognizes she's not going to do it on her own. She recognizes she's going to make the risky play. There's a good chance it's going to be intercepted, and that's it. Game's going to be over. So what she does is, she says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavoi HaMelech V'Haman HaYoyim. She says, wait a second, let's go slow, she says to herself, and I'm going to suggest to set this thing up better. So she realizes that she's going to have to frame Haman more than simply just to go straight up on the first request. Now it's really, 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 it's easy to say, but when you're in the heat of the moment, It's very, very hard to be patient. It's very, very hard to be patient. There's so many things that we want to accomplish in life, and so many things that we want to get done. I'll give you an example in life. Well, this will happen sometimes. A guy will chase away a girl in their dating because he in a kosher way, of course, he shows her that he's interested in, and she's like, we've only dated two dates. The question that you're asking me now is not, you know, talking about getting married. I'm not ready yet. And it goes in both directions as well. The girl could chase away a guy. Lahavdil, in one's own learning, every once in a while we're going to want to accomplish so much so fast. But ultimately it will be with less haslacha if a person moves in a manner that's more assured and more focused. Patience is a tremendous, tremendous virtue. And a lot of times, young people make foolish decisions because they're not willing to let things develop. And so, if you have an opportunity to be mashpia on Klal Yisrael, much more important than the goal line in the Super Bowl is being mashpia on Klal Yisrael. If you have the opportunity to be Mashpia and Klal Yisrael, realize that patience is extremely, extremely important. You have the end goal in mind, but at the end of the day, Yavo HaMelech V'Haman HaYom, to suggest that over time it might get better. Yeah?
What's like the line between like the being like lazy, in a sense? Like,
right.
Or like, at least not like that you're being lazy, but like feeling lazy. Like if you're
right,
not
right.
Finishing or not doing something.
Right. So I think the question is a very good question. I think the answer is that Esther knows that this is not coming. Your person needs to ask themselves if it's coming from a lazy place. She knows that you can't rush it. No, it's not coming from a place that's lazy. It's thought out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the beautiful part over here is that the subtle part is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is inside. Let's continue though. And I point out on this pasuk, I saw Rav Yaakov Tellis had Rav Kluger Sefer on the Megillah, and I saw he pointed out something absolutely beautiful. And lesson number two is when Esther suggests this. When she suggests this, what was going through the mind of Klal Yisrael? What was going through Klal Yisrael's mind? In other words, Klal Yisrael just has their Gzardin, and they've got one hope. Who's their one hope? Esther. And Esther walks in, and she doesn't come with guns blazing, right? Esther is, like we pointed out, is very, very cautious. She's not willing to take the risk yet. So imagine if you're out there in Shushan, and you hear that Mordechai is davening, maybe you even heard like the inside scoop that Esther's going to go to Ahasuerus. And then, says Rav Kluger, then you watch that nightly news after you broke your fast, right? Three straight nights of fasting. And then you hear that Esther suggests to Ahasuerus that they make a party with Haman. So if you think, Va'ir Shushan Navolcha, beforehand, right? The Pasuk says that when the decree came out, Shushan was entirely confused. Can you imagine how more confused they are now? Says Rav Kluger Shlita, beautiful. He says, sometimes, dafka, when it becomes bleakest and darkest, that's where the Yeshua starts. And that's where, as we pointed out last week, that's where the Shem Hashem is. That's where Yavo HaMelech V'Haman HaYom is. Particularly at that place. Yavo HaMelech V'Haman HaYom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating it, that when it reaches the darkest point is actually where the light is going to start. So a lot of times we were trying to accomplish something and we thought things were going to get better and it gets even worse. What's the Mizmar of Purim? Lam Natzeach al Ayelas HaShachar. Esther is referred to as Ayelas HaShachar, the rising of the dawn. And Chazal say that right before the dawn is the darkest time at night. Ayelas HaShachar. So one needs the darkest time in order for the Geula to begin. That's an Echama for Klal Yisrael. When there are times that are very painful, times that are very dark, that particularly when things are dark is when we know is the moment in which the dawn could break. And that's what Esther represents. That's what all Megillas Esther represents. That's what the Hester of Megillas Esther represents. And dafka there, Rav Kluger so sharply points out, is Yavo HaMelech V'Haman HaYom. Dafka there, last time is the Shem Hashem. When it's particularly, when everybody thought that was the worst thing, that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was Esther and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Kaviyochel as partners together. One last point, and with this we'll wrap up for today. One of the Talmidim listened to the shir, so he sent me a WhatsApp. He's a Rav in England, Rabbi Kett. So he listened to our last shir, and he heard that we spoke about that Yav HaMelech V'Haman HaYom is in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Kett pointed out something very, very beautiful. Not only is it shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but let me remind ourselves what we said. That in Avodas Hashem, the Melech and the Haman is also HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we just spoke about before. And the Avodah of Purim is taking the Haman, in other words, what the world looks at as vices, and using it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yavo HaMelech V'Haman HaYom. So Raiket pointed out, Yavo HaMelech V'Haman HaYom. Mamish flows beautifully with what Rav Kluger said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is both. Is the Melech that comes, and the Haman that's Hayom. But a person who expects that everything's going to happen Hayom, that's B'bchinas Haman. A person who understands that it's Yavo HaMelech, that ultimately the good things are not something that come right away, but there's something that come over time. On the most basic level, is the idea, as the Marcellus Yesharim describes, is people who want satisfaction today, ultimately their lives are empty. That's how Marcellus Yesharim describes Olam hazeh domeh leprozdar. This world is just a hallway to the track into the palace. There's no greater mussar than that. That at the end of the day, the rest of the world is running to satisfy themselves today. And we believe that there's an olam haba, that there's an olam ha-emes, and that there's an olam ha-chachma, and that when we apply ourselves in amelus b'Torah, that that brings us to a place of chachma, and that the Rambam describes as the greatest hana'ah that a person could have, and that is the chachma b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the world generally lives, the world lives in God's world, but that God's world, Rabbi Kett pointed out, is Haman Hayom. That God's, that world of God is Haman Hayom. In other words, God's, the physical world is God's world as well. But they only got the second half, the Vav He, the Ve Haman Hayom, the Vav and the He. They live just in the present. Of course, Purim is a celebration of raising up the Haman Hayom, as we've spoken about in the past. But there are some people, the people who only live in the world of Haman Hayom, they live in the world of only Haman Hayom. But Yavo HaMelech, a person who thinks of Yavo, that's a person who has a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as I said, the most basic level of that is Mesillas Yesharim. It's Mesillas Yesharim's idea that Olam Hazeh Domeh LeProzdar, Olam Haba Domeh LeTrachtan. But it goes even deeper than that. Vatischak Liyom Achron. You say in Eishes Chaim. Vatischak. That we're able to laugh. Who laughed? Rabbi Akiva laughed, the Gemara Makos tells us. He laughs when he sees the Churban because he knows Yavo HaMelech. He knows that the Haman Hayom creates Shem Hashem, creates Gilui Shechina, will be Binyan Beis HaMikdash when you have Yavo HaMelech VaHaman Hayom, when you put the two together. Vatischak liyom achron has the ability to laugh, to be able to see that there's a yom achron. So that's a very, very powerful lesson of emunah. A very, very powerful lesson of emunah to realize and recognize that it's not only today. And the two go together. A person who lives in a world of gashmias can't see Vatischak liyom achron. He only sees what's in the now. You know why? Because he's trained himself just to enjoy the world and experience the world just in the here and now. So that person has a hard time seeing geula. That person has a hard time seeing into the future. That person has a hard time seeing that things are going to be better. That's the person who's not patient. That's the person who sees the world only through the 6 o'clock news. That's the person we hear, Shushan Navocha, that the person who says, wait a second, Esther let us down. It can't be any other way, because he's only in that 6 o'clock news. He doesn't see that he's not willing to see that Kadosh Baruch Hu has a bigger picture. The two go together. A person who lives in a world that's bigger, a world that connects himself to Harsina, where every day he connects himself to Harsina. And he connects himself to Geula, Tzipisa, the Yeshua. That's a person who is able to see big picture. That's a person who lives in the Bechina of Yavo HaMelech. The Chiddush of Purim is, which is different than Yom HaKippurim, is that it's HaMelech VaHaman HaYom. You could have both. In other words, we believe that you could actually watch the 6 o'clock news. Maybe not watch nowadays. But listen to the 6 o'clock news. Once upon a time, it was Walter Cronkite. There wasn't a... Guys, you may not even know who he is. Do you know who he is? None of you know who he is. Amazing. Walter Cronkite was like the first anchorman, famous anchorman. If I would tell you Tom Brokaw, you know, Tom Brokaw is from my childhood. Yeah, you don't even know that. Wow. Okay. Anyhow, everything's also today anyhow, so names don't mean anything anymore. Yavo HaMelech VaHaman HaYom. Yavo HaMelech VaHaman HaYom is that we have both. That we process the news. Yes, on Purim. Purim is the pinnacle, as we've spoken about before, of being osik in the Gashmias and using it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one has that, but at the same time the recognition that that's not the Ikar. The Ikar is the past, and the Ikar is the future. The past in what way? Not the past that our hurt, but the past, our connection to our Masorah and Maimon Har Sinai, and that the Gra is with us, and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is here in the room, v'chulei, 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 and the recognition that we're one day all going to become part, it's one, that there'll be Tchias HaMeisim and we'll all be together. So that's Yavo HaMelech. It's a recognition that Hayom there's also Haman, and even that's supposed to be used to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That even the Gashmias, in contrast, we mentioned in the past, that the Islamic world has to reject wine, the Christian world has to reject sexuality, because they're torn. And unfortunately, there's so many Jews who just live in the, and so many, most of humanity that just has ignored spirituality altogether. And the celebration of Purim is the combination of all these things. But we see it's not only about how you relate to Gashmias, it's also about how you perceive life. How you perceive life. So all these, what Rabbi Ked is saying is connected also to what Rabbi Kluger had taught us. So Be'ezer Hashem, we should be Zelcha, that this Bechin of Yud Kei Vav Kei, what does Yud Kei Vav Kei stand for? That Kadosh Baruch Hu is in the past, he's in the present, and he's in the future. And we're mechaber to that Bechin of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Maybe Zelcha to be Jews who really, really live the essence of our relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Bechinas Hayyahoy Veviyah, to be able to continue to be the Kadosh Baruch Hu.